All right, now I'm set. All right, talk to you in a little bit. Bye.
Good morning.
Hello, Elias.
What shall we discuss, Martha?
It's been a year, and a lot of things have happened. I started making notes and realized, I think, that there's sort of a theme that we could talk about today, that just fun stuff. I think I've had some accomplishments in the 12 months that we, since we last talked, and what I see as the theme is that it feels like more and more I'm moving into what's genuine for me, which, you know, that's sort of my theme for my whole life, so it's not surprising, but also being more in tune with what's genuine for people that I'm in intimate connection with, like Linda and Robert and Odie and then our family. But what I was curious about discussing with you was that, you know, discovering more about what's genuine for me, what my talents are and my natural inclinations. But talking about that in the context of climate change and the opportunities that we have now and upcoming to really engage and explore our talents and our inclinations within that new context?
Very well.
So I'm not sure where to start with that. Do you have any recommendations?
What would be your concerns and what would be your interests?
Curiously, I don't have a lot of concerns. It feels like I'm sort of in this space where I feel more centered, and that there have been some, in the past 12 months, there have been some hurdles and sometimes what I call fractuosities. But it was like with talking with Mary, you know, they seem daunting, but I'm discovering more and more that all these things that happen and they seem daunting end up being really opportunities. Like when we talked last year, I was on Riley Blue, our sailboat, and she was totaled in Hurricane Florence, which was really heartbreaking because we had a close connection with her. But as it turns out, we've got a newer, bigger sailboat, and, you know, we've rebounded from that. We had considerable damage to Goddess Acres, but we got new roofs and ceilings done and made some improvements. So I'm feeling less daunted by change, and I think I'm more curious about the opportunities for exploration. I guess one piece that we could start with is, in some ways it seems foolhardy that we lost our sailboat because of hurricanes, and the threat of hurricanes is becoming a more extended season, greater damage as climate change, we feel that impact, but we just bought another sailboat. And so I'm curious about us doing that because it felt rather natural, but it also seems foolhardy. I guess maybe the question would be, maybe confirming or if you talked about my sense of how that's part of mine and Robert's natural flow, that it seems to me what we've experienced in the year since we last talked, we were at a fork in the road, and it seems like what's natural to the two of us is this sense of adventure and this sense of exploration, and that we're drawn to that community in Oriental, and it continues to grow into the experiences of sailing as just a natural exploration. It's just part of what we're curious about. It's something we engage together in complementary ways.
I would agree.
So I guess, I don't know, maybe I don't have a question that it just seems curious given, you know, there was so much destruction in Oriental, and people are rebuilding, they're raising their houses. And so maybe a question would be, what are the threats to that community where we do like to engage, and to our exploration of sailing as the landscape, as the water and the land shifts around there? Yeah, that was my sense, and Linda's too. At some point, Linda had thought about investing in property there, and her sense is that that's not a direction to invest in. And she's looking.
I would agree. I would express that. I recognize that individuals express a strong affinity to certain physical areas, and I acknowledge that, but I would also say that you have been presenting to yourselves significant imagery in recent years, and I would say to you that with that imagery, you have been presenting to yourself significant information in relation to what is changing in your world. And those individuals that choose to ignore that and move in directions of rebuilding again in the same areas are setting themselves in a direction or significant disappointment and even devastation. Because if you are looking at areas in your world that are already what you would term to be high risk, and you ignore that, then you are generating choices to move in directions that will undoubtedly be creating more destruction.
And there was so much, there's been so much already. Well, let me shift that then to where we are here in North Carolina, that considerably far from the coastline, but obviously experiencing even here the increase in storms, rain, tremendous amount of rain this year, and that Linda and I have a property with 3.6 acres, Robert's got about 6 acres, I think, and Odie, 5 acres, and we have considerable property with the three of us and considerable diverse talents and interests among us, and just different ideas bubbling up about how we start using those talents now without overwhelming ourselves, and wanted to see if we could discuss that some.
Very well. In what capacity?
Well, I guess, first of all, it would be good to know if you could share with us the type of impact that are likely for this part of our area of North Carolina. Like I said, obviously, where this past year, the amount of rainfall has increased tremendously. The storms have come farther inland. We had considerable impact from the two storms from Florence and Michael, with strong winds, and so we're feeling the impact. So that I would be interested in, and if there are things that you could share about that. But then there's also the focus that I have in my work with the co-op and my interest in food and the food systems. And Odie and Linda both are very interested in producing, learning to produce more of our own food. So it's just such a rich mix, but it's, feeling a bit at a loss at, where do we start and what are we dealing with?
What I would say in relation to that area is that even with the increase of rainfall and the alteration in climate and weather patterns, I would say that you could actually move in a direction of using that area and that land for food production. In some capacities, through necessity, you might have to be creative to be sustaining food production in a manner that is manageable and that is productive, but it is definitely something that can be accomplished.
That it could be accomplished, like on our property there at Goddess Acres?
Yes.
So.
Or any of those properties.
Even Roberts with all of the rocks?
Yes.
One thing that Robert and I had talked about was, because he's got so many trees, hardwood trees, and the rocks, is his place a good area for growing mushrooms?
That is a possibility, yes. I would also say that growing isn't only a matter of certain types of plants. Trees also yield food sources. And there are many different types of trees that can be maintained in rocky soil. There are many trees that will grow with very little soil, and that are naturally growing in very rocky areas. Therefore, that is not necessarily a problem or a difficulty in relation to some types of growings, especially trees.
Is there an example of what, like, that would be, might be an experiment for Robert to try here in his rocks?
Olive trees.
Oh, that's what just came to my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Olive trees are very adaptable and can actually grow in rock in very little soil.
Oh, it's been amazing. There are a couple of, that recently he had planted, I forget what type of little, maybe it's a little bush that he planted just in the crevice of the rocks, just put a little bit of soil, and it's just taken off. And I was really, really surprised. Well, he'll think that's great. Well, Linda and I, you know, we've had different ideas about Goddess Acres, and maybe they're complementary. She's planning. We've done really well with pepper chilies, which I love, the poblanos and the jalapenos and herbs. And she's wanting to add tomatoes. And we have a cleared space where the people we bought the house from have cleared it, and it's been organic, and we've started to do a few things that weren't, and now we're thinking, oh, shame on us for doing that. And we're looking and thinking about, you know, putting in fruit trees and adding more foliage to our acreage. And I've had an interest in planting some kind of grain on the property. Do you think that in the climate, with it changing, that we could grow something like wheat or oats and make enough that it would be enough to bake bread, which is another interest, you know, that I have?
I would say that is definitely possible. That would be one of the types of food sources that would require you being creative with, meaning that in relation to something such as grains, rather than growing that in the traditional manner that has been in large open fields, you might eventually require covered field.
Huh. Is it because of the heat?
No, more so because you are incorporating an increase in rainfall, an increase in precipitation, and contrary to what you might think, too much water is equally as damaging as not enough water.
Okay, yeah, I've read some of that. So would a grain that grows more in a wet soil, like rice?
Yes.
Would that be more?
Yes, I would say that presently where you are is not necessarily conducive to rice either. It is somewhat in between. Rice requires wetlands.
Yeah.
Therefore, land that is constantly wet, that is almost pooled with water. Therefore, there is not quite enough water for rice, but there might be too much water for some other grains, unless you were creating a system in which can redirect that water.
Okay. Yeah.
You could.
Yeah, with the irrigation.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. So, our interest in food, it sounds like we could do food production, but we're probably talking about it really producing food for us, but it's not necessarily something that we would be contributing to a broader community.
I would disagree. I would express that depends on how much you are planting. Let me express to you that if you planted an area of, let's say, 2 acres is a decent size of land. It isn't tremendously enormous, but it is a relatively large parcel of land. Now, if you planted 2 acres of different types of food sources, that would definitely yield more than you and your sister and your partners and your family could consume. You would yield much more than you could actually consume. Therefore, you would automatically be contributing to your community. If you were planting between all of you, let us say 5 acres worth of food sources, you could actually yield enough to be generating a significant contribution to your community locally.
Wow. So
I would express that you don't necessarily incorporate a concept of how much growing plants will yield. Let me express to you in this manner. If you planted 1 25-foot row of tomato plants, that would yield enough tomatoes in one season. This is one 25-foot row. Only one. That would yield enough tomatoes in one season to supply your entire family, to can likely 200 large cans of some type of tomato product, whether wow. it be diced tomatoes, whole tomatoes, stewed tomatoes, tomato sauce. Tomato sauce requires even more tomatoes, and you could generate 200 cans, large cans, of, let us say, tomato sauce, and also be donating or giving or selling a significant amount of tomatoes to the community. That's one 25-foot row
wow.
of tomato plants. Therefore, what I would say to you is that at this point, you don't actually genuinely incorporate a concept of how much yield there is in relation to actually systematically growing plants for food sources, especially vegetables. And this also, if you have a stream or a creek that runs through any of your properties, along the stream bank, you can plant different types of melons because they grow very well in sandy soil. Any type of stream banks or brooks or creeks, that soil is very sandy along the banks, and those areas are excellent for growing squashes and melons.
So
and you can yield a tremendous amount of squash and melons.
We've got a natural spring and we've got a small creek, but it's got a lot of red clay in it. Would melons grow and squash grow in that like they would in sand?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Linda loves to go along the stream and move ferns from the stream to the yard. So she likes to spend time, and we've talked about clearing enough of our land where we could more easily get to the stream. Well, circling back around to our genuine flow and our talents and that stream, is farming, like doing vegetables and canning, and it obviously is something that's very genuine to Odie. He does it, so it's just part of who he is and what he does. Is that a good fit for me and for Linda?
Yes. I would express that if you were actually growing the food sources yourself, that this would be an avenue in which both of you, in different capacities, have an interest and a tremendous amount of focus in relation to these types of projects, regardless that you may not be familiar with it or you haven't actually engaged that previously, it matters not. Both of you do incorporate the type of focused attention and personality type that would move in that direction easily and that you would flow well with.
Could you describe the differences and how we could be complementary in that?
I would say that you would be flowing well in processing of different food sources. She would be well inclined to be engaged in the organizational aspect. Therefore, the canning aspect, the labeling, the storing, all of that she would be very good at. You would be good at the processing part of the growing, the also the canning part of that, if you were so choosing to move in that direction, or processing grains and making them into something you would be good at. She would be good at, once again, organizing, packaging, storing, perhaps even distributing in relation to that. I would say that in relation to growing, that you both would be effective at that.
At growing, and I know she likes to do a lot of designing. So is that, you know, like how it's going to be, you know, in raised beds and where they would be? And
Yes. Definitely.
Okay. Well, that's all exciting, and it's we just have to find a way to incrementally bring that into our lives so that it's not, we don't take on more than we can handle at any time.
I'm understanding.
Do you have any recommendations for things that would be fun for her and me to engage? Tomatoes sound like that would be a good one. Is there anything else?
I would say most types of vegetables and obviously melons and squash. And in that, now what I would say is if you were setting aside some area in which you would be incorporating fruit trees, that is somewhat of a longer process because you have to allow the trees to mature before they actually are significantly yielding. And I would also express that in relation to fruit trees, they are different than, let us say, vegetables or squash or melons because are mature and are of what you would think of as a good size. They can yield a significant amount of fruit, but they will actually produce less in yield than other crops. Therefore, in order to generate a significant yield in relation to fruit, it requires more trees and therefore more land. Therefore, in relation to fruit trees, you could incorporate some fruit trees and they would yield enough for all of you and your family with some excess for the community, but not a tremendous amount.
It's curious.
Vegetables will yield much more.
We had considered, there's a strip along where a lot of scrub trees are growing, and we had considered having that area cleared and planting some fruit trees. Mm-hmm. Are there any other kind of trees that would be appropriate for our soil other than fruit trees, like a nut trees or something?
You could move in that direction also. And I would say that the trees would be excellently adapted to the changes in climate and the increase of rainfall, because the trees would actually consume more water.
So any kind in particular that would be well suited for Goddess Acres that we could start with trying? Too bad.
olives, yes. Other types of citrus, not as much, such as orange or grapefruit. They require more of a consistent hotter weather.
What about limes?
Yes, you could engage limes and lemons.
Cool.
I would say definitely with the olive and different types of olives. And
cool. What about mushrooms?
Yes.
Cool. But I have a tangent, just thinking about food sources. Linda and Robert and I, we all eat primarily pescatarian, vegetarian plus fish and seafood mostly when we're on the in Oriental. But and so we eat very, very occasionally. Do we eat any meat? So I and Robert, in particular, we cook with meat substitutes and just find that they're not satisfying on taste and texture, particularly like soy meats and things. And I wonder, it's probably different for each of us, but what are good sources of protein for people if you're not eating meat? And for, in particular, for like my body and Linda's.
I would say for you and your sister to definitely limit the soy tremendously.
Okay.
If not, to eliminate it altogether.
Wow. Okay.
Soy is not a good or effective food source for, I would say, generally speaking, 99% of female individuals.
Wow.
It doesn't assimilate with the female body consciousness well in relation to the type of hormones that the female body consciousness produces. It interacts with soy and not beneficial capacity.
Well, that's good to know. Well, so what we tend to eat is, you know, fish, seafood, cheese. Linda,
seafood is excellent. Eggs are excellent. I would express that peanuts are also excellent, and cashews, peanuts. What I would tend to express to most individuals that don't generally incorporate meat in their diet, that the most effective substitute for that would be eggs.
Eggs, okay. Is there, like, when we do occasionally have meat, is there one that's easier for us to process, given that we don't eat meat that we only do that seldomly?
Necessarily.
Okay.
I would say that is actually more a natural direction for the human body, that naturally the human body consciousness is designed to be consuming meat sources such as any type of red meat or pork only occasionally, and that different types of fowl and fish would be making up more of the bulk of your protein.
Okay, that seems common sense and is probably more better for our environment in that the focus of that you just said.
I would agree. But I would also express that eggs are an excellent source of protein, and actually they are what you could consider a protein fast food.
Okay, good. That makes sense.
Because you can prepare eggs in a myriad of different manners, and most of which you can prepare very quickly.
Yes. And we seem to all have our favorites, which is nice that it's so versatile. Well, that's curious. Well, I know we've got about 15 minutes left, and since we're talking about body consciousness, there were two things that probably in the near term, maybe just in 2019, that I've been experiencing that I was going to share with you and see what, I guess, what your take on it is. And one is what I mentioned earlier, that there's this sense of, I guess I've been calling the feeling, it's like there's this, what I've termed to be this abiding space of contentment. And it feels a bit like what previously you and I had talked about feeling tones and that space of just being genuinely centered. And I'm finding that I can go to that space more easily. I mean, I'm not in that space all the time, but I can be in a place that I'm reactive, I'm stressed, and more I can just kind of flip a switch and go to that space. And I guess I was just wanting to know how you would describe what that is.
I would agree with your assessment. I would acknowledge you that this is definitely a beneficial direction for you, and that it is excellent practice in centering yourself. I would also say that it is an excellent practice in the direction of perhaps evaluating what is actually important.
Oh, wow.
And what isn't.
So could you say a bit more about that? Because I hadn't looked at it from that perspective.
What I would say is that in many situations, in many subjects, because of all the constructs that you all hold, without even genuinely being aware of it, you make many subjects, many expressions important when they aren't actually, or it isn't necessary to make them important. And in that, in this state, and practicing that action, you can also use that in relation to any given time or situation to genuinely assess what actually is important to you and what isn't. There are so many expressions that people make important that aren't actually important.
Yeah, I can see that, because a lot of times when I find myself wanting to just connect to that space, than it is like things slip away. It's like that they just fall off. You know, it's just like, it's like they're not relevant, and they just, it's not like you even have to address to them that they just fall away.
Precisely. And I would express to you that that can aid you tremendously, because you can use that as a tool, in a manner of speaking, to evaluate other situations. Let's say that you engage some conflict with your partner, and perhaps it wasn't a tremendous conflict, but it was enough that you continue to think about it at different times in your day. And when you move into that state, you can recall that situation, and you can ask yourself, what are you making so important that you continue to replay the scenario in your head, or you continue to attempt to reevaluate conflict? What are you making so important?
Yeah, and I experienced that with Robert. We were having a conflict over some plans that I felt like kind of got hijacked by his son for his birthday, and it was really bothering me. And then, you know, at some point I went to that place, and it was just like, well, you know, what's really bothering me here, and what's important? And he and I talked about it, and we were both in that space, and it just, you know, it just cleared up. It just wasn't the big deal that I was making it to be, but I couldn't get out of that cycle of thinking about it and evaluating it.
Precisely. And that occurs for most individuals, including yourself, fairly often, in which something becomes important and then you dwell on it.
Yeah.
But if you were actually to stop and evaluate and ask yourself, why is this so important? And many times you might surprise yourself at what you present to yourself, why you are making that so important.
It feels like sometimes there's just, I don't know the right word, but it's just like there's an attraction to that. There's some kind of...
Definitely, and I would say that that definitely is the correct word. This is what I have been expressing to all of you for a considerable time framework. Feelings are attractive.
Yeah.
Even if they are uncomfortable.
Right.
Or even if you think that they are bad, that doesn't mean they are any less attractive.
Right. But that somewhat related to that, I had some insights, some synchronicities, related to inflammation and reaction, and that somehow when we react all the time, many, many times throughout the day, we just go into, we have these things that trigger and we're just reacting. Sometimes it's negative, like frustration or anxiety, stress. Sometimes it's what we perceive as more positive, like helpfulness and let me fix this. But wondering if when we react, if we're not sending a message to our body that's like alert, protect, and that over time when we do that habitually day after day and even year upon year, does that trigger in the body consciousness this issue with inflammation that's so predominant in our state of unhealthiness right now, that's leading to, you know, unhealthy inflammation that leads to chronic diseases?
Definitely. Yes.
So it seems like if we're doing that and we're creating inflammation, then the more we learn to go to this place of being centered, that we interrupt those messages of react, alert, protect. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Congratulations.
Wow. All right, so I mean, it's curious because this wellness program that we are implementing at the co-op is very much focused on physical things like strength and food, but there's really not that element of being centered or meditation, that awareness that seems like that's also got to be a piece of what we address if we want to address these issues of inflammation.
Yes, I definitely agree.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So those seemed like some pretty cool things happening, and I don't know. It just seems like in the past 12 months, there's been a lot of opportunities to deal with, but that all in all, things are just going kind of well.
Congratulations. I would definitely be acknowledging of you, my friend. And I would say that you have been moving in directions in which you are paying attention to what you are doing and to your own communications with yourself, and in that also moving in a direction of listening to your body consciousness, which is also significant. I would be tremendously acknowledging of you, my friend. You have been accomplishing well.
Thank you. It's, I feel engaged in so many areas of my life, and just feel excitement, and it's been quite a year.
I express encouragement as you move forward in this year and you accomplish more, and perhaps now you may be in a position in which you may be beginning to actually use your space arrangements there at Goddess Acres to be productive in manners that you want to.
It feels like especially that where Linda and I both are, that it's syncing up more, and that the energy seems rather fortuitous to start some new adventures.
I would agree, and I would be very much encouraging of you.
Well, we may have much to report the next time we talk.
Excellent. I will definitely be looking forward to that.
And I'm super excited about sharing this with Linda and Robert and talking about olive trees and tomatoes and all these new adventures.
excellence, my friend, in tremendous lovingness to you, and great encouragement as always, and never-ending supportiveness.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
A dear friendship. Au revoir.
Au revoir.